Welcome back to the Magnetic Goddess Podcast. I'm your host, Amy Lee Westervelt, and today I have a fabulous guest for you. She is a sleep therapist and educator. Anna Devenna is here with us, and I'm so glad to welcome her for you guys.
You're listening to The Magnetic Goddess, a podcast for women who are ready to step into their power and live their best lives. I'm your host, Amy Lee Westervelt, and I'm here to guide and inspire you to take the journey back to your higher self. We'll talk about everything from personal development to career growth to relationships. We'll share tips, tools, and strategies that will help you become the most confident, successful, and magnetic version of yourself. We'll also talk to inspiring women who have already achieved their dreams and are living their best lives. We'll learn from their stories and discover what it takes to create a life that is truly fulfilling. I believe that every woman has the potential to be a magnetic goddess. She has the power to attract anything she wants in life, and she can create her birthright of abundance. I'm here to help you tap into that inner goddess and live your best life. I'm so excited to have you on this journey with me. Let's start living our best lives together as magnetic goddesses.
Welcome, Anna.
Hello. Thank you for having me. So lovely to be here.
Absolutely. And we love having you. So tell me, how does somebody become a sleep therapist?
Well, the way I became a sleep therapist is that I had insomnia as a child and young adult, and that resulted in me getting very sick. And I was offered medication that I was told I'd need to take forever. And I said no. And I did a lot of study and I cured myself of those illnesses, and also in that process became a great sleeper and realized that a lot of people are suffering with this issue and there's very little help. So I've dedicated the last 22 years to helping others get great sleep. I started with kids. I just thought this should be taught in school. You know, we're meant to spend a third of our lives asleep, but we're never given a sleep education. So I went into schools and I did that for many years, and then I started to work with adults and then companies, and now I have a charity also that is focused on children. But yeah, it's my life.
I love that. That's such a cool legacy to have, that like you taught people how to sleep and educate them. And it's true. I mean, it goes right along with a lot of the other things that they don't teach in school, right? They don't teach you how to balance your checkbook. They don't teach you how to, you know, time management. They don't teach you those things. And so, you know, sleep is one of the things. Speaking of which, a question I have for you, because, you know, you're here and I might as well ask, something that my husband and I struggle with a lot, and I think a lot of people out there struggle with who have little kids, is what we call revenge procrastination. So everybody's in bed and it's like, I have free time to myself and I just want to stay up. I want to watch TV, or I want to play. In my husband's case, he wants to play video games, and sometimes he'll come to bed at like 5 a.m. and he's got to be up to take the baby to school at 8. And I'm like, what did you do all night? And I think that, you know, that tends to be something that a lot of people struggle with, not just us. Do you have any tips or tricks for that? And, you know, any, I guess, like a mindset shift? Because, you know, when I think about it, I'm like, oh, my kids are finally in bed. I don't want to work. That's when I finally want to watch a show or binge something or whatever. But the next morning, man, you're just like, why did I do that? I'm too old for this.
Yeah, it's a really common issue that people choose activities other than sleep in their time. So, you know, you just have this window of time that's yours. And there are a lot of things that you want to do in that window of time. It's very natural, especially as a parent. I've worked with a lot of parents. My favorite people to work with are parents and business owners. And when it's a combination, it's like jackpot. I really love it. So you have these desires and you have things that you want to do in that time. And when you think about sleep, you probably don't think of it as the immensely valuable, pleasurable, healing, rejuvenating activity, even because it's a non-activity, that it is. And so it's really about our perspective on sleep and taking that moment to consciously ask, is what I'm about to do worth me feeling like crap tomorrow? Like that's one hack or tip to actually just pause and say, look, I can do this thing and the price I'll have to pay is I'm going to be groggy, probably foggy headed and a bit grumpy tomorrow. You know, like, and sometimes you'll be like, no, I'm doing it. I'm watching it. But when you actually take that time to acknowledge what you're giving up by choosing an activity other than sleep, then, you know, you've got more of a chance of choosing sleep or putting a time limit. That is hard when we watch shows because even if we say, I'm just going to watch one episode, there is this thing that happens in our brain that makes it very hard for us to press the stop button. Just for that, the little hack that I suggest is on Netflix or any of those platforms, you can create a setting, like you can change your settings so that it doesn't automatically play the next episode, so that at least you have to move your body before the next episode starts playing. So there's lots of little things you can do like that. But the main thing, as you said, it's a mindset shift and it's also like a value shift where you fully acknowledge the immense value of sleep and how much it gives you in your waking life. You know, how much of a better, well, just general person you can be, but, you know, how much of a better friend, parent, partner, you know, business owner, everything. There's not one aspect that fantastic quality sleep doesn't impact in our life.
It's so true. And it's interesting. I wrote a post about yesterday about resting and how much guilt I would have just from resting. Like my husband walked in and I was watching a show in the middle of the day and I'd be like, I already did this. And then he's like, "Hun, I don't care. I don't care. You get to rest." And it's interesting as women, there's such a stigma attached to the idea of resting. Like, how dare I still sleep? You know, like, why am I not, you know, if this is still going or that, you know, this thing isn't done, the generation, you know, before us is like, well, then why did you go to who, you know, going to sleep with the kitchen dirty, going to sleep with this done, going to sleep without this done. And it's like, at what point do we recognize that burning the candle at both ends is kind of creating a lot more problems? It's creating all kinds of things. I mean, I don't know how much it's been studied and you would, but the correlation between a lack of sleep and illness and disease and all those things, not to mention, like you said, the foggy headedness. But my question though is, you know, for us who are raising children and conscious parents, obviously this idea of sleep being something yucky kind of was put into us from when we were little, right? Having to go to bed early or, you know, it's time for bed. Like the toys are going away and the play is going away. What are some tips and tricks you have, just a couple, for, you know, parents to help their children start to value sleep from an early age? Because I know for us with education, you know, being homeschoolers, being unschoolers, we've always been, my husband and I have always been all about learning for the sake of learning. You know, we don't create rewards. It's not like you need to go do your math. It's like, how amazing is it that you know how to do this? And so our children value education beyond anything. So I would love some tips and tricks for like how to shift into valuing sleep the way that you said that you do now.
Yeah. So I've just finished a book called The Good Sleep Guide for Parents. It's part of my sleep kit for kids. And that is full of practical knowledge and skills that parents can use to not only improve their child's sleep and make bedtime an enjoyable time for everyone, but also have that value shift in themselves, which you asked me, one of your early questions in this little piece was, how can we help our kids understand the value of sleep and value sleep? So the first thing is to embody that yourself. So when you live your life that way, it will naturally cascade into your communication with your kids. So if you're living in that way that we described in that very first little piece, they're going to feel that. You know, they're going to feel your relationship to sleep. They're going to feel your own like, God, I'd rather do anything else. And so I always, and the book's in three parts, is that it really starts with you and what you're embodying. So that's the first piece of that. And, you know, inviting children to dreamland, you know, and telling them that this is going to make you like a superhero. It's going to help your brain become an incredible brain. It's going to help you to integrate everything you've learned today so that when you wake up tomorrow, you're embodying it and you remember it and it's stored in the library in your brain. And, you know, inviting them to even the beauty in the dark. One of the chapters, so my sleep kit has two books and one of the books for the children, and they learn 9 skills for being able to calm down in bed and fall asleep. One of them is befriending the dark and talking to them about what's beautiful in the dark. Sorry?
I said I'm 41 years old and I'm still afraid of the dark, so I'm anxious to hear this one.
Yeah. So befriending the dark for a child can start with telling them, you know, the dark can be scary because it can contain anything, absolutely anything. And so our imagination is at play in the dark. But there are things that actually exist in the dark. Like if we look outside, we can see the stars in the sky, and sometimes we can see the moon, and we can hear the symphony of insects that sing at night. And, you know, bringing them into the beautiful aspects that actually exist in the night, and then helping them use their imagination in a positive way. So there's other pieces in the book like Your Heart Friend and The Softness Game. They tend to be favorites, and they're games and things that children can connect with when they're in bed on their own. So it's kind of, and then for adults, befriending the dark has other dimensions. You know, the dark is a metaphor for the great mystery that we live in. We don't know, you know, we don't know. And so we come face to face with that when we turn all the lights off and we turn the devices off. We come face to face with our not knowing and with the great mystery that life is. And we're not resting, like you said. And so we're not engaging with that in our waking lives. You know, we're not exhaling long enough to feel the mystery and to feel the beauty in that. And so when we start to connect with it, then usually there's fear there because we're just not used to that spaciousness and kind of feeling everything. That's what I think the dark really invites us to do, is feel everything. And the dark is also a medicine. The dark is the most potent sleeping pill. We have a part in our brain called the suprachiasmatic nucleus, and that is connected to brain cells in our eyes. And those brain cells are called retinal ganglion cells, and they read the amount of light in the environment that we're in. And that light sends a signal to the suprachiasmatic nucleus, which then says, okay, this is how much light there is. And depending on how much light there is, we'll send another signal either to our adrenal cortex to make cortisol and keep us awake or really wake us up, or to our pineal gland, which will start producing melatonin. And so the dark is really our gateway to so much health and vitality and really good quality sleep, which results in those things. So, yeah, I could talk forever about sleep. It's such an incredibly nuanced and deep topic. Yeah.
No, I love it. I think it's so powerful. And it's interesting because we do that a little bit. Like my 11-year-old, you know, she's been watching movies in her eyes since she was a little girl. And she just loves to go to sleep and pick out what the story she's going to tell herself. And I think, you know, I kind of started doing that when I was a little girl. My sister and I would just kind of start to talk as we fell asleep about what our lives were going to be like when we grew up and what our houses were going to be like and bringing. And now, you know, I use embodied visualization in my coaching. And I'm like, wow, that all came from getting into sleep and getting into that mode of relaxation and mental rehearsal, right? So it's just interesting as you're talking, I'm like, wow, that's very full circle. So you'll have the link for the books and the programs and all that in the show notes, right? Like we're going to put all that in there. That's okay to do that.
That sleep kit, I've given it away through my charity up until now. I've given over 1,000 of them away. And there's a scientific study being done to prove that it works because I give that kit to charities that take care of children who've experienced some kind of trauma. It's the initial reason I made it, but it helps all kinds. It even helps adults to sleep, the original little book called the Sleep and Dream Book. But it's going to be released to the general public this year. So what I can do is just I'll give my link and people can connect with me. And then, yeah, as soon as it's ready, I might actually create a wait list for it. Yeah,
I think you should, because I think a lot of moms are going to listen to this and be like, oh my gosh, I need to get my hands on that. Because really it is such a point of stress and such a place of, you know, friction for parents with their children that it doesn't have to be. And I just imagine, like, what would it be like for all the kids to just shuffle off to bed, you know, and say, Mom, I don't want to, you know, and some, I mean, to be fair, I have 5 of them. Some of them are better about it. Like my 11-year-old, she goes right to bed. She has her iPad and stuff like that she can have for the last hour before she actually goes to sleep. And, you know, some of them really do enjoy going off to sleep. Some of them still wake up in the middle of the night. My 6-year-old is in my bed almost every morning. So that's a whole thing, but you're absolutely right. It is such a powerful thing to be able to see sleep as an asset, see it as something that, you know, the more I sleep, the more money I make, or the more I sleep, the more embodied I am as a parent, you know, the more I am making myself available for my partner. I mean, I can just think of so many affirmations that you can just throw sleep into. So this has been absolutely amazing. And thank you so much for joining us. Seriously, if people want to get a hold of you before they get the sleep kit, you know, just to get into your world, what do they do? Where do they go?
So they can go to my website, which is sleepwellandthrive.com. So that's sleepwellandthrive.com. And they can find me on Facebook, Instagram through that same title, Sleep Well and Thrive. And yeah, I have a group coaching program, have a corporate program, have lots of things that I offer that take people from not being able to sleep well to being great sleepers, and then having that knowledge and those skills that they can utilize for the rest of their lives. And then parents, I've coached a lot of parents and children. I do love doing that. And just completely changing the way that bedtime happens and the quality of sleep for the children, which then changes the quality of sleep for the parent. So yeah, it's all intertwined. And thank you for having me today. I've really enjoyed speaking with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's been my sincere pleasure. And we'll have to have you back again to talk about something else related to sleep, because it's been fantastic. So thank you. And that will do it for another episode of the Magnetic Goddess Podcast. Until next time, guys, may you be happy, may you be healthy, may you be safe, and may you be at peace. Namaste.